Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, sixth chapter, Purusha Shukta confirmed, text number 27. Gatayo matayaschaiva prayaschittam samarpanam purusha vayavair ete sambaraha sambritamaya. Gatayo matayaschaiva prayaschittam samarpanam purushava vyavairete sambaraha sambritamaya. Gatayo matayaschaiva prayaschitam samarpanam purushavaya vairete sambara sambritamaya. Gatayo matayaschaiva prayaschitam samarpanam purushavaya vairete Sambritamaya. Ladies. Gatayo matayascheva. Gatayaha. Progress to the ultimate goal, Vishnu. Matayaha. Worshipping the demigods. Cha. As also. Eva. Certainly. Prayaschittam. Compensation. Samarpanam. Ultimate offering. Purusha, the personality of Godhead. Avayavahai, from the parts of the body of the personality of Godhead. Ete, these. Sambhavaha, no. Sambaraha, the ingredients. Sambritaha, were arranged maya by me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is Lord Brahma speaking to his son, Narad Muni. Thus I had to arrange all these necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal bodily parts of the personality of Godhead. By invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal, Vishnu, was gradually attained, and thus compensation and ultimate offering were complete. Purport. In this verse, special stress is given to the person of the Supreme Lord and not to his impersonal Brahmajyoti, as being the source of all supplies. Narayan, the Supreme Lord, is the goal of sacrificial results. And therefore, the Vedic hymns are ultimately meant for attaining this goal. Human life is thus made successful by pleasing Narayan and getting entrance into the direct association of Narayan in the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. Gatayo matayaschaiva prayaschitam samarpanam purusha vayavayai rete sambaraha sambrita maya. Thus, I had to arrange all these necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal bodily parts of the personality of Godhead. By invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal Vishnu was gradually attained, and thus compensation and ultimate offering were complete. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Ghora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukam Kurtiva Chalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Sri Guru Dinotaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So very happy and fortunate to be here. The Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled Vaishnavs. Here, Lord Brahma is describing his own realizations and experience in performing sacrifice. And he is stating that he got all the ingredients from the Lord. There was nobody else that could supply him with the necessities. And thus, all the paraphernalia required came from the bodily parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, everything was gradually attained, and the compensation and the ultimate offering were complete. This is very much relevant for us because we are to engage in sacrifice. And in a similar way, we also depend on a Supreme Lord because all the ingredients are coming from Him. We have no other resource. We cannot procure any of these elements outside. We have to get them from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport here states that special stress is given to the person of the Supreme Lord and not to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Srimad Bhagavatam states, Vedanti tatta toidas tattvam yajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. The people will appreciate the Lord in different aspects. Many people are going into nature and they're appreciating the Viratrupa. They go to the ocean. It's happening as we speak. They go to the mountains. They go out into the woods. And they try to get some sense of relief, some sense of peace by engaging themselves with the impersonal or the Viratrupa. Then there are certain people who look for peace in meditation and try to get relief from the pangs of material existence by meditating on the localized aspect of the Supreme, which is there in the heart of the living entities, Paramatma. And then there are the devotees who are searching out for the person, the source of all these different manifestations. So we know that the person is the source of everything, ete changsa kala pungsa, Krishna's tu bhagavan svayam, indradivya kolam lokam, ridyantu juge juge. Everything emanates from Krishna. All these expansions, manifestations, they're all coming from Him. So, to really please Him is the goal of human life. Ante Narayana Smriti, to be able to remember Narayan at the end of life, is the goal of existence. This is the gati. Nate vidu svarta gatim hivishnum durashya jay bahirarta manina andayatan dairu pagiyamana tepi satantra murudam nibara. Those who do not know that gati, that ultimate goal, they will get sidetracked and they will get confused in the material variety. And thus they will fall down into lower species. I had a doubt for a long time. Now I have many doubts, and you know, to doubt is a sign of intelligence. So if you have many doubts, that means you must be very intelligent. So one of my primary doubts, and I'll get to that later, but one doubt was whenever I read that Tapan Mishra, who was educated, who was well learned in scripture, he did not know the goal of life nor the means how to attain it. Have you ever been puzzled when you read that? How can a person who is educated in scripture not know the goal of life and not know the means how to attain it? But then I read in one purport to the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he states that because Tapan Mishra was chanting his Krishna mantra silently, that's why he could not ascertain the goal and he could not actually attain it. And in that purport, he's making the point that he was missing out on engaging in the five primary activities of devotional service, and is especially stressing Sankirtan. He was missing out in gathering together with other devotees and glorifying the Lord publicly. And thus, he was not able to ascertain the goal and to actually achieve it. Now, in the purport to 10.10 Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te, Srila Prabhupada says something very beautiful in the last paragraph of the purport, and I would like to read it to you, if I may find it. Just give me 1 second. So the translation is, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But if he's still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Now, isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's why we should read Prabhupada's books every day, because otherwise you miss out on this. And this is really speaking to my heart. I mean, who is he speaking about? A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. That's pretty relevant. That's pretty accurate. So Krishna, he is available, he's accessible, and he responds to devotion. He responds to devotion so much so that Srimati Radharani, she made Krishna a devotee. Like sometimes we say, I made this one a devotee, I made that one a devotee, I gave that one a book, you know, this person became connected. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the love, the affection, and the devotional ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. So, Krishna is very responsive. Srila Prabhupada's writing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we have all experienced that in our own lives, that as soon as we somehow turn towards Krishna, Krishna makes all the necessary arrangements. He moves us forward on the path to come closer to Him. So Krishna is very responsive. So I would like to narrate one or two short stories and then open up for questions and discussions. When I was just starting out in Krishna consciousness in the early 80s, I was going to door-to-door in Switzerland and distributing books in a very conservative neighborhood with big houses, big fences, big dogs, and big false egos. And very few books went out. But one lady, she took three books and she mentioned that her nephew had been to India. So I asked her, well, can you give me his number? And she gave it to me. And then I called, and the next Sunday, he came with his friend. And they both showed up. They had long hair and red eyes because they had just smoked some pot in the forest. And they were rich kids, so they were very proud. And they said, look, we have been to India already. We know all this stuff. But I was happy-go-lucky Bhakta Niko, and I did not take no for an answer. So I just showed them the whole temple, gave them prasadam, and at the end, I showed them Prabhupada's books, the whole set, put it out on the table. And they just said, you know, we know it already, everything, but you're nice kids. So they put a few big bills on the table and packed up all the books and left. And then after, they kept coming and visiting like once every quarter, but not much was going on. But then after about a year, His Holiness Bhakti Chirumaraj showed up at a Sunday feast and gave the class. And boom! And they were like, "Oh, this is our guru." And it just blew them out of the water. Because somebody actually cared. Somebody was actually able to penetrate through their covering, through all their conditioning. And they had a big house overlooking the lake of Lucerne and a lot of friends because they were rich kids. And they transformed that into a preaching center. And from that gathering, 15 people got initiated and a few dozen started chanting. All disciples of Maharaj. Huh? The whole lot. So it shows that it's good if we make the books available. Yet we also have to give the personal attention, the affection, the care, so that people feel, yes, somebody's here for me. A few days ago, I was in Santa Cruz, which is the home of the homeless vegan. And on the farmer's market, I met one man who said that he was in Vrindavan and met Prabhupada. And even though visibly he had tried to stay away from devotional service and the association of devotees, he was very much affected by Srila Prabhupada's presence. And he was very appreciative, even though he was incapable of committing, but he was visibly very touched. So I just like to remember Brahmananda Puri because he was a dear friend and he gave his life for printing Srila Prabhupada's books in Russia. And I was with him many times in Russia and he told me how in his house in Armenia, I mean, in those days, it was illegal to own a typewriter. It's not imaginable for us, but he procured a printing press on the black market and he took out the street light and made a hole in his wall of his house and put the printing press in his basement. And he went and he procured paper and ink with whatever it took. He gave people cars. He gave people refrigerators. He gave people television sets. He gave people whatever they wanted. He somehow got it in order to be able to print Prabhupada's books. Then personally printed them, and he would drive all over Russia, and you know it's the biggest country as far as land mass goes, and deliver those books to the different gatherings of devotees in his little Lada. And a couple of times he got stopped at checkpoints. And they checked his documents and they checked the car. And when they went, he had to run into the woods and just disappear. Otherwise he would have gone to jail or be killed. So he gave his life to printing Prabhupada's books. And with the first 250,000 books that were shipped in 91, when they actually opened up, he printed 15 million books with the money that they got from selling those first books that Brahmamurti Prabhu sent. And then from those 15 million books in the 90s, the majority of the devotees came and the centers really started flourishing. So everything is coming from Krishna. All the ingredients are supplied by Krishna. And how does he do it? Through his devotees. Just like here, Brahma is saying that by chanting the names of the demigods, by procuring these ingredients for sacrifice, I was able to perform a yajna that was pleasing to Vishnu. He described also how he performed tapasya and Krishna came personally and shook his hand and said, thank you very much. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Krishna just comes and shakes your hand and says, oh, thank you, you know, well done. And Brahma was in anxiety because he was about to create the universe and all life forms. And that's a daunting task. But Krishna said, don't be anxious and don't be depressed. Whatever you're praying for has already been granted so many times. Have you ever been anxious or depressed? Or is it just me? Huh? And it's not just because the task is daunting. It's just because, you know, material conditioning is very strong. But Krishna says, don't be anxious or depressed. Whatever it is that you're praying for, it has already been granted so many times. That's why when we read Prabhupada's books and we see how they relate to us, to our lives, we get courage, we get inspiration, we get solace, we get empowerment to become a small part of this movement, to become a small part of this mission. I'd like to read a part of a purport from the fourth canto where this topic is being described. After all, human life is meant for pleasing Narayan, and this can easily be done by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Whenever there is congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Gaura Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, immediately appears and is worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. This is from 4th Canto, 30th Chapter, Text 36. So, when Nimai Pandit was in East Bengal, then known as Bangladesh, and he met Tapan Mishra, he gave him the instruction. He had darshan, Tapan Mishra darshan of Lord Chaitanya, and he showed him his predicament, and Lord Chaitanya told him that he should chant Hare Krishna, and he should do so in the association of other devotees. Then Tapan Mishra said, this is wonderful, Gurudev. I want to come and stay with you. I want to come to your ashram. In fact, I'm just going to leave and just going to be with you. And what did Lord Chaitanya tell him? What did Nimai Pandit tell him? Yeah, come join my ashram. Be part of my group, right? We'll have our little team going here. No, no. He told him, you go to Varanasi. I got a mission for you. You go there and I will come there later on because I have a mission there in that town. But I want you to go there first and prepare the ground. So he was sent on a mission. And then later on we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went there and he converted the Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakashananda and his consorts, I mean his associates, not consorts, his, what's the right word? Help me out, people. Yeah, his disciples. Yeah, his associates. Exactly. So, Sankirtan is a team effort. It's a team sport. And that is the complete chanting of the holy name. If we chant silently, if we chant for our own benefit, if we chant with a selfish motive, the result will be minimal. The experience will be minimal. We may still not know the ultimate goal, nor the process how to attain it. So unless and until we can put away our differences and our insecurities, we cannot engage fully in this Sankirtan. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. Sambandha Gyan means to have knowledge of one's own identity, the identity of the Lord, and the relationship between them. But if we are insecure because of lack of that awareness, of that Sambandha Gyan, of that knowledge of true identity and relationship with the Lord, then what happens is we will, due to that insecurity, it will breed territorialism, sectarianism, tribalism, and it will result in a severe constipation that will block any progress. Because we will again resort to smartaism, birthright, groupism. So, to truly engage in Sankirtan means to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. To do so in the association of other devotees. Yet we know that in the age of Kali, as Kunti Maharani says, all difficulties come from social interaction. Or a good part of them, at least. To live together with other people is trouble. So, yet, it is the austerity that is required in order to actually please the Lord. So as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that the difficulties that arise in the performance of my devotional service are my ecstasies. So how often do we see it like that? Now things are slowly opening up again, and we can hopefully get back to engaging more as a cohesive group and society and community of devotees. And so it's a transitional period. We had a little taste of solitary bhajan, of doing a bit more of that internal processing, which is certainly a good thing. Yet, let us not forget, there is a lot of people out there who are waiting for Krishna consciousness. I was in Columbus Circle at the entrance of Central Park in New York, and we had Harinam there, Ram Roy Prabhu, and book table. And there were some caretakers who put out wheelchairs with elderly folks, and they were there just taking in the morning sun just before noonish. And I went over and I talked to one elderly lady, and she looked very aristocratic. Her, even though she was 85, probably mid-80s, her hair was done very nicely. She had a lot of jewelry, very nicely manicured fingernails, and everything was, you know, very posh. And I showed her the Bhagavad Gita, and even though her caregiver was not very positive to me talking to her, she ordered the caregiver, "Give me my wallet." She's in charge. And she handed me a donation. And then afterwards, she said something very touching that I'd like to share with you. She looked at me, and she said, "Thank you for coming over and talking to me." And what she didn't say was, "When you're my age, nobody talks to you. People just ignore you. They pretend you don't exist. They just consider you a piece of furniture, you know? So you just kind of move around them like that." But she looked at me and she said, "Thank you for coming over and talking to me." And that is what every living entity in one way or the other feels when they reconnect with Krishna. And they see, oh, there's something here. There is something of substance, something of value, something of importance here. So I come here to show my appreciation to all of you for dedicating your lives to this Sankirtan movement of producing and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and creating, maintaining community, which is a difficult, it is a daunting task in this day and age of individuality, personal agenda, struggle and strive. But it is a very rewarding task. And in the words of Lord Krishna from the Bhagavatam, don't be anxious and don't be depressed. Whatever you're praying for, it has already been granted so many times. That should give us reassurance. That should give us solace. That we can just go on with our business of serving the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and taking all these little difficulties and setbacks as an inspiration to move forward very boldly in our devotional service. Now, I'd like to apologize to all of you because oftentimes my boldness may be interpreted as rashness or as being a little too forthcoming. So I know I have neglected, offended, and mistreated many of you over the past when I came through here on short little visits and pit stops. And I sincerely like to apologize for that and beg for your forgiveness and pray for your mercy so I can be successful in my humble attempt to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. I'm going to hit the road to nowhere and look for how to be part of this Sankirtan experience that will ultimately satisfy our hearts and make a difference in this world. Thank you for your kind consideration. Hare Krishna. We do have a few minutes. Yes, Prabhu.
I really appreciate very much your point about Tapana Mishra and the lacking of his realization or God realization because of chanting silently or not associating with devotees, which is the main part of our Sankirtan movement. What advice would you give to any community, any part, any temple of ISKCON right now we know the situation of COVID, but let's say we don't have that. And we don't have enough devotees or manpower to go and do that part of that going and chanting in the streets and associate with devotees. Someone might say, well, I'm not very inspired, such and such person is not there. And so what would you say to them?
You meditate on Srila Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada stood underneath a tree and he started chanting. And people started gathering. Preetu Prabhu was saying how he was there. His pregnant wife was sitting on the bench. And he sat on the side of the road. And he had a few Ishopanishads there. And people came. So you just go out there. The potency is contained in the instruction of the spiritual master. It's not that you have to go somewhere else to get empowered. But the empowerment is contained in the instruction of the spiritual master. Of course, we can come up with a lot of excuses, but even in these times, you know, every tragedy has an opportunity. And now you can go up to anybody and ask them, how are you doing right now? You know, like, how is health? How is things? Everything okay? Are you wearing a mask? Are you washing your hands? You know? I mean, you can make up, you don't have to make up, but you can use everything either as an angle, as to your advantage, or you can think, oh no, it's impossible now. Like, we can't really distribute books now. And that's what some of us thought a year ago when lockdown started. But if you look at the numbers, if you look at the scores, then reality has proven us wrong. that there is a lot of opportunity. And people actually had little time now to do some soul searching and to see what's really important. So it is possible. It is very much possible. And to those who are in a place just by themselves, just go out and chant. Make the message available. People will come forward. They want to join. Yes, Archie to Prabhu.
I know. From the moment you joined in the early 80s, I mean, we've all been inspired by your boldness, as you put it, going out and distributing Prabhupada's books. But I just wanted to ask about the rich kids. Are they still chanting? Are they still with us?
Who is that?
The rich kids that you were telling us about in Lucerne. Are they still chanting? They're still with us?
Yeah, one of them passed away, Murari Prabhu, who was the leader of the pack. He passed away recently. And the other one, Balaram, he's still there, and they're still chanting. And practically all of that Sangha is still engaged in devotional service and still going strong. Yes. Other questions or comments? Maharaj?
The fact that sometimes you come to a person and he says, well, this bores me. I'm not really interested in it. I really don't have any enthusiasm. So I don't see why I should. Isn't that what your point was? Yeah. I really don't see any reason why I should even get involved with this because it doesn't do anything for me. So it's very important for the devotee to be filled with love of Krishna, to be filled with the desire to bring Krishna to someone else, with the desire to overwhelm this person who's so bored with love of Krishna, your love of Krishna, and it should be contagious. It should transmit itself from our heart to his heart so that although he may be bored and indifferent, uncaring, unthoughtless, something from us must come to him so that he realizes there's another aspect to this beyond and above his boredom. And that is what you are experiencing. And when he feels what you are experiencing, you have helped him to realize there is another side. And then you reassure him that whatever you are feeling from me, and you have looked like you're feeling uplifted and elated, you can have also. And really what you need to do is follow a program which we have and which will bring you to this. But of course we have to give him the impetus, the incentive, the desire, and that has to come from us. So generally the fault is us in the sense that we are not as enlivened, we are not as enthusiastic, we're not as caring, as you were talking before, and thoughtful. So when we have those feelings, like a rain that comes down, it envelops and engrosses the person who is feeling so down. So it is our business to bring them up.
Thank you.
We can do that by depending upon Krishna. What does Krishna say? In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, people be conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If you do not do this, then you will be lost. So this is basically the idea. Is that this is person that you're mentioning, he feels it's worthless, it's useless. But you don't, and he needs to know that.
Thank you, Maharaj. So if you want to jumpstart someone's battery, you got to be juiced up, you know? Otherwise, your own battery goes, Ew! And so better be fired up in Krishna consciousness, like Maharaj. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Once you come here, you stay for a week, no less.
Thank you.